I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Dave, it was just a short time ago that the Utah Department of Health sent KSL News Radio a statement. And let me just read you the first two sentences of that statement regarding the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The Utah Department of Health is today recommending vaccine providers temporarily pause administration of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. This pause is to allow the U.S. Food and Drug Administration time to investigate reports of a rare, treatable type of blood clots experienced by a small number who received the vaccine.
And that will be a huge part of today's discussion. It's 9:08. It's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
Here are three things Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
In 12 minutes, Rich Lakin, Utah's immunization coordinator, calling the show to tell us what happens now to all those appointments. If you have one booked, is your appointment on pause? It sounds like the answer is going to be yes. So what do you do now? We do know that Pfizer and Moderna are still available across Utah. But there's already, Dave, more demand for COVID-19 shots than supply. So Rich will have to fill us in on what to do if you are one of the people set to get Johnson & Johnson.
And with all these paused vaccinations, how long can we store those vaccines? We'll ask Rich that. But J&J has been pretty unreliable so far. So my guess is that it won't change things very much. We were only receiving a few thousand each week, you know, aside from that one week where we got a monster shipment of 40,000.
Countdown to...
In the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to take a deep dive into Utah's what I call soft-on-crime approach to see if it's contributed to the bottomless number of second chances for a man who police say shot two sheriff's deputies in the face this weekend. This is called justice reinvestment. We've talked about it on the show before, and it's been in place in Utah for 6 years. It was put in place by Utah lawmakers. A recent audit, though, Dave, shows instead of reducing drug crimes, as we thought or we told that it was going to do, no, it's increased offenses. I'm going to give you the number. By almost 300%.
300% up?
Yeah.
Massive. They call it JRI.
Yep.
You may have heard that. But the governor said this is part of the risk of not being North Korea, where, you know, once you get sent to prison, you never get a leave.
Launch countdown one.
Well, certainly our big story is medicine unfolding in real time all morning long as we learned that the feds are recommending a pause on the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. We're going to get into what happened and why the pause in just a moment. But we do know that blood clots formed in six women. One has died. One, we understand, is in critical condition. So, of course, our question is why women and why younger women? Dr. Carlos Del Rio of CNN says despite all this, he still recommends getting vaccinated.
I would not say do not get vaccinated just because of this very rare side effect. But I would say that it's the right thing to do for the CDC and the FDA to halt the vaccinations with the J&J vaccine.
Now, there are lots of questions about what, if anything, connects these six cases of blood clotting in women. So at 9:35, Intermountain Healthcare's Dr. Tamara Sheffield calling the show. We're going to ask her why women and also what you need to watch for if you've had the Johnson & Johnson shot.
And why the FDA is saying that the treatment for these kind of blood clots is not the standard treatment. Very important information we're going to get out to you. I called it the get it and forget it vaccine
yeah.
for Johnson & Johnson because it's only one dose and you didn't need to go back for that booster. But boy, this has sure been problematic. Last week, it had that huge production mix-up where they flopped some ingredients. They spoiled 15 million doses. But here's the context with the blood clots. So far, we're talking about 6 cases and nearly 7 million doses administered. It's literally 1 in a million.
Dave and Genovic.
The launch.
Commence.
The launch is brought to you by Mountain America Credit Union.
KSL's top national story. Special coverage with Dave and Genovic.
Big news and big interviews over the next 3 hours. In 10 minutes, the state's immunization coordinator for Utah calling to fill us in on what happens to Johnson & Johnson appointments. Do you need to reschedule? Moments ago, the CDC and FDA holding a press conference to announce the pause, that they're moving in that direction, and that they're going to go ahead and investigate why women are experiencing blood clots. Here's the FDA director, Peter Marks.
This is a recommendation, and it's not a mandate. It's out of an abundance of caution. We're recommending that the vaccine be paused in terms of its administration. However, if an individual healthcare provider has a conversation with an individual patient and they determine that the benefit risk for that individual patient is appropriate.
That was interesting to me that they were calling it a pause, not a stoppage. That if you, with your healthcare provider, wanted to, quote unquote, take the risk, that was still allowed. A pause is much different than a stoppage.
Of course, the Utah Department of Health moments ago releasing a statement, they are recommending vaccine providers temporarily pause administration of Johnson & Johnson here in the state of Utah. And here's why. You got 6 women had blood clotting that occurred 6 to 13 days after they were vaccinated. My understanding of what I've read through the Associated Press is that the clots happened in the sinuses of the brain. Here's more information from ABC's Aaron Katursky regarding these 6 women. Let's listen to what he told Utah's Morning News this morning.
It occurred in women ages 18 to 48. One woman apparently died. Another had to be hospitalized. They occurred 6 to 13 days after vaccination. So the CDC and the FDA say, if anyone's concerned, just who's received the J&J shot, just watch yourself for about 3 weeks after vaccination. And if there's a severe leg pain or abdominal pain or severe headache, shortness of breath, those kinds of symptoms, then, you know, call your doctor. But otherwise, you should be okay. We're talking about 6 cases out of nearly 7 million doses administered.
7 million doses of Johnson & Johnson, but across the country, we're looking at 121 million doses that have been administered, if you include the Pfizer and the Moderna.
Dave, next, I want to get the state's immunization coordinator, Rich Lakin, on the line with us to tell us what you need to do if you have a Johnson & Johnson appointment booked.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's top local story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
Well, the state of Utah is wasting no time. It's not waiting for any more information, sounds like. They're putting a pause. The Utah Department of Health today recommending, according to this news release, Vaccine providers temporarily pause administration of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine in the state of Utah. We've got Rich Lakin, Utah's immunization coordinator, on the line with us, Dave, to talk about what that means for folks who have a J&J appointment lined up.
Yeah, and you might be asking, why the quick pause? After only six cases popped up with this blood clotting issue. Now, remember, we're looking at nearly 7 million doses that have been administered of the J&J vaccine. I listened to a media call from the FDA and CDC this morning, and this is their explanation on why the quick pause.
I'm sorry, Dave, I don't see that.
Okay.
Do we have some audio?
Well, I can paraphrase here, it. Essentially,
here, Dave, I got it. So sorry. Stand by.
And that pattern is very, very similar to what was seen in Europe with another vaccine. So I think we have to take the time to make sure we understand this complication and we address it properly.
It was very similar to the AstraZeneca vaccine, the same blood clotting features, the markers they were seeing. That's why they said, oh, we've seen this before. Let's pause. Let's investigate.
Rich Lakin on the line with us. He's Utah's immunization coordinator. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning.
Last week, you told us on the line you were losing confidence in Johnson & Johnson after 1.5 million doses got the wrong ingredient. Of course, those doses weren't distributed. But this pause could affect vaccine appointments for a lot of Utahns. What happens if you have a J&J appointment scheduled?
Yeah, that's a good question. So right now, we've asked everybody to that's receiving Johnson & Johnson to put a pause on, basically by our announcement and our press release. So that means that if they have a scheduled appointment, let's say for today or the rest of this week, as of right now, they'll have to maybe make an appointment for either the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine. Maybe you can go on that route instead. We'll receive more information as the U.S. Food and Drug Administration investigate these reports and find more about it. And then, then we'll kind of, state of Utah will then move on from there after that investigation.
Practically speaking, how much will this affect Utah's vaccination program?
I guess there's kind of two ways to look at this. We only received 4,900 doses that went out this week, so it really didn't affect our distribution of getting people vaccinated, to fully extent. Most of our vaccines really are coming from Pfizer and Moderna right now, where you're looking at so far almost 39,000 of Pfizer and almost 29,000 of Moderna. And again, we only got 4,900 doses of the J&J. We were expecting quite a bit more doses towards the end of the month of J&J. And that was really going to help speed up the process and get more people vaccinated. But we'll just continue to move along. This will kind of move things a little bit slower in getting our goal of getting enough people vaccinated. We can only do the best we've got with the amount of vaccine that we have.
Rich Lakin is the state's immunization coordinator, calling us in regards to the pause of Johnson & Johnson vaccine after blood clots were found in six women. In about 10 minutes, Dr. Tamara Sheffield from Intermountain Healthcare is going to be joining us to talk about why women and what now if you've received a Johnson & Johnson dose. Do you need to watch for any sort of symptoms? Rich, I misspoke a few moments ago. It's actually 15 million doses that ingredient mix-up affected just a couple of weeks ago from Johnson & Johnson. Word started to trickle out at the end of March about that ingredient mix-up. But practically speaking, I think people will want to know, do they need to call their local health departments or their pharmacies to rebook appointments? What's your recommendation on that?
So, they'll have to reschedule for sure. I mean, if they have an appointment today, they're not going to be able to be vaccinated with J&J. And so they're going to have to, reach out wherever they're getting vaccinated, whether it's at the local health department, whether it's, with NAMI Health or Intermountain or U of U. or their pharmacy that's receiving vaccine. They'll have to reach out to them, and those appointments will be canceled. And then we'll just have to, once that we get more guidance from the FDA, then we can reopen up those appointments for J&J and get those rescheduled again. We just don't know right now when they can be rescheduled. So as of right now, they'll just have to wait. Or the other option, like I had mentioned earlier, they can get they can schedule an appointment with those that have Pfizer and Moderna vaccine.
Are you afraid that this will scare some people away from getting vaccinations?
You know, I think it will. Yes, I think it will scare some people from receiving the vaccine. However, you need to remember that this is only six people out of 6.8 million doses that were given. And, you know, and even though it's very rare, six people is too many, and that's why they want to investigate it. We want to have a vaccine that is safe and effective, and we still believe that it is a safe and effective vaccine. We just want to make sure that it's the right thing to do, to pause and just make sure that out of those six people, what is going on, and then let the FDA investigate that, and then we can determine the role after that point. But yes, I feel it could scare people away. But again, six people out of 6.8 million doses is pretty good odds, and luckily it's treatable.
But the upside to Johnson & Johnson all along has been that it's one dose. As Dave said, it's get it and forget it. The other, Pfizer and Moderna, are the two-dose regimen a couple weeks apart. So to get fully, you know, full immunity, it's several weeks. So do we need Johnson & Johnson vaccine in this state at all, Rich? If, for example, we decided not to bring in more Johnson & Johnson, even if the FDA gives it the green light, would we be able to have enough supply of Pfizer and Moderna to get Utahns who want the vaccine?
Well, you know, it's we're planning on getting a lot more J&J vaccine down the road. And it is a big part of getting people vaccinated. And again, remember that the J&J has shown to be very effective in the one dose, in one, keeping you from having severe sickness due to it, and also very effective in keeping you out of the hospital if you were exposed. So it is a very good vaccine. I think what we're going to do here is we're going to wait and receive more guidance from the FDA and from CDC. And then I think each state will make the determination about how this vaccine will become part of the overall vaccination process with the other two, Pfizer and Moderna.
Rich Lakin, Utah's immunization director, thank you so much for joining us. And as he said, Debbie, he is afraid that this will scare some people away from getting the vaccine. But he wanted to remind people that, again, this is six people through 7 million doses.
I think the call to action, though, for a lot of Utah families is reach out to your friends or your family members who you think might have a Johnson & Johnson appointment booked over the next several days. They're going to have to reach out to the provider. And according to the state's immunization coordinator, cancel that appointment. That appointment will be canceled. So we don't want a lot of people showing up at pharmacies or vaccine clinics thinking they're going to get Johnson & Johnson today, because the state of Utah has officially put a pause on administering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine while the FDA investigates to figure out why these blood clots have formed in six women. Let's get Dr. Tamara Sheffield on the line live. She's with Intermountain Healthcare. Let's ask her, why women?
Utah's top local story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
You heard it here moments ago. State's immunization coordinator saying if you are heading out to get your Johnson & Johnson shot today, you're not going to get it. The Utah Department of Health putting the administration of that particular vaccine on hold until the CDC and the FDA sort through blood clotting issues. Our top three questions, I think, Dave, for Dr. Tamara Sheffield of Intermountain Healthcare regarding this blood clotting situation with Johnson & Johnson have got to be these. Why women? There's six women who've had blood clotting. One of them's dead. Also, what symptoms do you need to watch out for if you just got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? And in her view, as an expert, will this be a temporary pause?
Yes. It's a one in a million chance right now. We're talking about six women. There's been about 7 million doses, so it's even more than one in a million chance. Now, Johnson & Johnson has not played a massive role in doling out the vaccinations yet. 121 million vaccinations so far. You know, the vast majority is Moderna and Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson was the third vaccine onto the scene, so we're still learning a great deal about it. So joining us right now, Dr. Tamara Sheffield from Intermountain Healthcare. Dr. Sheffield, what is causing this? I heard it may have had to do with hormones. Is that why it's affecting primarily women?
Hi, Dave. It's good to talk to you. Yes. It's good to understand the mechanism that may be happening with this. And what we know most from it is what we've been seeing happening in the AstraZeneca vaccine in Europe. Just in this last week, a group from Germany and from Norway have published information on the cases they've seen there of the very similar side effects. Okay, so they have. So what they've done is they have. Are you still on there?
We're here. Yeah.
I'm so sorry that this alarm went off. So in terms of the vaccine, and sorry, that got me a little bit.
That's fine. We were talking about straight. The hormones.
I mean, as a woman, and I'm sure a lot of women are asking this question. Why women? Is there something to do with hormones? Is there something to do with the way we're made up? I mean, why women?
Well, and what is happening here, the thing is looking very similar to another condition that happens in young women as well. And it's a heparin-induced, so it's from a medication that they get for surgeries or to prevent clotting, but it's actually heparin-induced thrombocytopenia. And it's you get this complex of heparin with the platelet factor 4 that creates this immune complex, and then you get antibodies against it that start this clotting, the platelets just clotting, and it is, like you say, the genetics of women, their hormone, and it's in, you know, young childbearing age.
Right.
Those individuals are more, because of childbearing, they're more predisposed to clot, and so it's their it's the clotting concept, as well as people who are on hormones, who are on birth control,
yes,
they can also have a hyperclotting factor as well. And so it seems to be a very similar mechanism that may be going on. And so the FDA and CDC are going to have to look at these cases and say, were there other things happening just besides the vaccine? Were they on birth control? Were there some other factors here? And it looks like you have to have a predisposing condition. I mean, otherwise, we'd see a widespread clotting happening. This is happening so rarely. It seems to be that there's going to have to be something that predisposes the women to having this happen.
That perhaps connects these six cases. There's something underlying.
Correct.
Or predisposed. Okay.
We've marveled so often about the speed in the development of these vaccines. Any chance that this would have been picked up had we been able to study this over a longer period of time?
Most likely not. That's the thing. When it's this rare, you have to have seen it in a large population, and studies just won't have found or tracked this. That's the wonderful thing about how our system for surveillance is set up on this, is that we can find very rare cases with the VAERS system, where physicians see, you know, someone had this vaccine. We report everything, whether we think it's associated or not, and so that the FDA can then see these signals and say, let's have an abundance of caution and let's just stop and wait and see what and really investigate before we go farther.
Which brings up the point. To me, it's important that physicians are reporting so the CDC, the FDA can track problems, and also that we go to our doctors and tell them what's going on. And Dr. Sheffield, I want to play just a clip from Utah's Morning News where ABC's Aaron Katursky joined Tim and Amanda when this news first broke this morning. At 7:15, he was on the line with Tim and Amanda talking about the recommendation to watch yourself if you've gotten the vaccine. Watch yourself for symptoms. Let's play that, and then I want to ask your opinion.
Just who's received the J&J shot, just watch yourself for about 3 weeks after vaccination, and if there's a severe leg pain or abdominal pain or severe headache, shortness of breath, those kinds of symptoms, then, you know, call your doctor.
Dr. Sheffield, thousands of Utahns have gotten the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in just the last month. What do they need to watch for?
So in terms of a time frame, we have not seen anything past about 2 weeks. And usually what happened in these clotting conditions, it tends to be about 5 to 10 days after whatever the triggering haptin or protein or whatever, the small particle that starts this process. And so I would say if you're within 2 weeks, just like you said, the types of things that you notice are for blood clots would be in your legs. Severe abdominal pain, severe shortness of breath, that we get pulmonary embolisms, or severe headaches. So it's not just your typical. It's like these things, you know, something is wrong, and at that point you go in and get care. So if it's severe enough that you would go to the emergency room anyway, go to the emergency room. If you're having questions, call your doctor and ask.
Does this shake your confidence at all in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
Anytime something like this happens, it doesn't shake confidence, because I believe the vaccine works, and it's worked in, as Richard indicated, millions of individuals. It makes me stop, and this is the whole idea of a pause, is to stop and reevaluate. And we want to make sure safety is the first thing that we consider. And so if there's something that would concern us, we will stop and make sure that we are confident that we can have this in some populations may not be at risk, and those could receive the vaccine. So it's an effective vaccine. I want to make sure it's a safe vaccine. And so that's why, I applaud the CDC for stopping and reevaluating.
In the 30 seconds we have left, Dr. Sheffield, do you think this pause will be temporary?
It has been in Europe. So in Europe, they paused long enough to say, let's look at least and see which populations we think we can still safely give this in and not have a concern. I think that they will be asking that question here as well. So I believe that if they can be confident that there will be groups of individuals who they feel it safe with, that we can restart the vaccine.
Dr. Tamara Sheffield, thank you so much for joining us from Intermountain Healthcare. Says that we do know that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is effective. We just have to make sure that it's safe.
In the 11 o'clock hour, Dave, we're going to have a nurse who was part of the Johnson & Johnson trial. She's going to call us because she told us this morning when we were producing the show that the blood clot problem was foreshadowed during the trial that she got involved with. So she's enrolled in this trial. She says it was foreshadowed. We're going to dive into that discussion with her. And next, we're going to bring on, we're going to talk about perspective. Perspective after all this news broke to this pause with Johnson & Johnson with the help of our very own Boyd Matheson.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.